The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 269. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and today I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
We are back. Throw down your questions.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, what up, what up?
And Adam Vail.
What up, internet?
All right, man, we're back for another one. Before we even start, I want to give a huge shout out to the fellas here for holding it down while your boy was absent from Throwdown, man. I didn't get to listen to the whole show. I heard the first half an hour. It was one of those kind of slow weeks, but you guys held it down, man. So thanks for that. You know, again, we don't want to take hiatuses just because like one of the guys is gone. It's like we got to keep the show going. That's what we do around here. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we had a decent little bit of stuff that, you know, like we talked about, you know, a couple of, you know, things that happened, but no megatons. It's zero megaton,
yeah, you know, even, news. Not even microtons. Like,
no, I mean, the biggest thing I could say on there was, what was it? What was it? The ESA thing.
That was probably
the biggest one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, ESA thing and Nintendo sales as well, like they kind of released those numbers about how well their console's doing, and it's crazy, man, how much the Switch is selling, and their first party software is just through the roof, man.
Yeah, it's funny. I've gotten a question about that for this week, people.
It's funny the way they're mentioning it, because remember how before they were just kind of being on the DL about that? They're like, you got to kind of look for it, you had to dig for it,
and then with Nintendo numbers.
Yeah,
Nintendo was always throwing their numbers out for the Switch since day one, man.
I'm talking, you know, GameCube. I'm talking.
Oh yeah, they weren't. Well,
I'm talking GameCube. I'm talking the
Wii. They threw those
Wii
numbers
U,
out
yeah.
in your face too.
Yep. Oh yeah, yo, Tony.
What up?
I don't know if you saw this.
What up?
Guess. Hopefully you didn't, because I want to see your guess on this.
Okay.
This is the first question. How many? And Chris can chime in too because he wasn't here. How many Pokemon sales for that Pokemon Shield and Sword were done in since release till the end of the year 2019?
Wasn't it? It was between 10 and 12 million, right? Something like that.
Nope.
No, damn.
All right. Was it 16 million or something?
Yep.
16 million.
It came out in November.
Well, damn. Like, yeah. See, Carlos, that's why I was like, that's gonna be Call of Duty, but Call of Duty obviously sold way fucking more than that, you know?
Yeah, but the thing about it is that it literally it's literally a couple of maybe a couple hundred under Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Brothers
in 6 months, or no, not in even six months,
two months, in one and a half months.
Didn't I tell you guys that shit? I told you that the fucking Pokemon was going to blow the fuck up, obviously.
Well, granted, that is nothing compared to Mario Kart 7, which is their top-selling game.
Mario Kart 8. Yeah. But we'll talk about those Nintendo numbers a little bit. And I believe that's pretty much that. So let's get into it, man. Questions, people. So first up is Black Metal Gamer. So his first question is, what third-party companies would you like to see have a Game Pass-like model of their entire library? For example, a Konami or Capcom game stream and download app where you have access to current and retro games. Square Enix gameography would be tight. How much would you pay for a service like that? So yeah, would you want to see like a third party have something like Game Pass, you know, like Capcom or, you know, Konami or Square Enix or something like that?
Oh, we already have that with all these other studios. No, we don't need that. Now they keep separating it. Next, you know, there's another system, and then you have all these services that you're paying for. I'm not. Think about it. We have EA Origin, right? We have Ubi Play. Who's paying for that shit? I don't know.
That's not a Game Pass type service.
It is for themselves. If you're talking about these publishers with their own titles,
But is it? I mean, for example, the Origin. Let's say you pay a monthly fee. Do you get to play all of their games that are in Origin?
Ubisoft does not. EA. EA does it. They give you trials for their new titles. You know, what's that, 10 days or something like that. You can't. It don't include the new games. But Ubisoft includes day one of new titles.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. My buddy at work. That's how he plays all the new games. Because of that fact. Because day one. Division, or let's say the, you know, Breakpoint when that came out, that's it. He was able to play it, so he was like, yeah, I'm playing it too. Day one, $14.99 a month he pays for.
Yeah, my answer is the same as Adam's. Like, I was against even EA Access when they originally announced that, because I don't like this whole partitioning going on. It's like, okay, you need to subscribe to this, to that, to that, to that, to that. Like, I'm kind of seeing like a little bit of a dark future where basically it's like the only way you could access some of these games is to sign up to these company-specific servers. Now, obviously, that hasn't happened yet, but I could kind of see something twisted like that going on.
I'm not down with that shit. Yeah, just
fine. Yeah, it's already happening with streaming. You know, like, you don't think they're going to do that with gaming? Of course it's going to happen with gaming. So that's why I am not down with that. I don't give a fuck if, like, hey, Capcom makes all their old shits available. Don't want that. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't like the partitioning, you know? Go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying, like, streaming is ending up that way and it's getting annoying. I mean, Warner Brothers themselves has three streaming services. If everybody starts fracturing off their content and, like, all right, it's locked down, you have to subscribe to us, right? Then pretty soon you have cable. Right? We don't want that in gaming. You don't want, like, Ubisoft to have their pass and EA to have their pass. Activision has their pass. Square has their pass. Then all of a sudden you're paying more than you would for a whole game.
For a whole game, yeah. It's fucking
and
crazy. Right,
and you won't own any of these games.
And you won't own anything. Copy. Exactly. Yeah.
But here's something funny related to all that. So I watched a little bit of the Super Bowl. They didn't give a shit because, you know, where I live, we don't have a pro team, so it doesn't matter. But I saw a commercial for Hulu. And some actor, and he's talking about, oh, all your great movies, all this. Don't you think it's time to cut the cord? He does this spiel and hoping. I'm like, yeah, but people wouldn't be able to watch the Super Bowl then. You know what I mean? It's like, so where would that be? That's another service if they do that. If, let's say, everybody decided not to have cable, cable's gone, everybody has sub-services, where are the live events then? Because that's definitely not on Hulu.
Hey, man, get another app for that. Get an app for that.
That would be a
subscription, baby.
Exactly, but that wouldn't be on Hulu. But I found it funny that here it is. They're paying all this money advertising this. Say, yeah, cut through this. Meanwhile, you're talking about it during an event that is not on your service.
Yeah. By the way,
just to be quickly technical, yeah. I mean, the Super Bowl's on Fox, so you can get that over the air on the antenna, so...
Yeah, who the fuck has an antenna? Though? Who the fuck has an antenna now? You know,
people still do have them.
Yeah, well, old people maybe. You know, like, you know, regular people. Anyway, what the fuck was I going to say? Oh yeah, that's what I wanted to say real quick, because a lot of our fans, our viewers, are football guys. We should acknowledge the Super Bowl real quick. Who watched it here?
I watched Super some what? Of it. I did. The Chiefs won.
All right. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
Whatever. Like I said, I don't have a team.
Yeah.
I mean, Carlos
watched. Yeah. By the way, Adu the Third said he watched the Super Bowl on Fox app on his Xbox.
Read the rest of it. Read the rest of it.
Then I uninstalled it. man.
Log into it. Didn't he have to log into it?
Yeah.
No. I installed the Fox app on my Roku and I didn't have to. Do anything, just started it because it's a channel, those over the air channels.
Yeah, the over the air.
I got to watch it in 4K, so it was pretty sick.
Wait, so Do the Third, are you telling me that you saw sports on your TV on your Xbox?
Oh, dude, yo, man,
obviously, what it was used for was supposed to be used for. You're using it exactly as how they intended it to
be. And right now, he's watching the canceled Quantum Break TV series, you know. And Halo. Man, I'm being an asshole right now. Anyway,
Quantum Break series wasn't canceled. It was in the game.
Oh,
is your Kinect still connected?
Yeah, right. TV sports. You know, I guess Brett is happy because he's from Kansas. You know, Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri. I don't watch football. So I don't know any of this shit.
Isn't that where Brett's from, Missouri?
He's from Kansas.
Yes, he's from Missouri. Well, I mean, he lives in Missouri. He's from, like,
I think he's in the Kansas side of Kansas City, though.
No,
I think he's in the Missouri side. Doesn't he always post how St. Louis is like the deadliest place on Earth or something.
Yeah,
like
because
that
yeah, because I remember I told him, I was like, "Oh, you have this snowstorm going on." He said, "No, that's Kansas proper. I'm not there."
Oh, okay, so he's on the Missouri side.
He's on the Missouri. Yep. Yeah,
I think so.
All right. Anyway, does anybody? Right, yeah, Carlos, did you make your point? I'm fucking glossing over it right now. This is what happens when I'm back, people. I'm disrupting everything. Fuck this shit. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Who is this guy? It was a really good game. There was a. It was close throughout the whole time. Like they were up 10 points, the 49ers were, and then Kansas City just came back and in the fourth quarter just fucking took that shit. And it was pretty good. The last couple of Super Bowls haven't been really that competitive. This one was. And they're two teams that I don't absolutely hate. So I didn't really, none of those teams I root for. So I just wanted a good game. And yeah, I actually, fun fact, I went to go see the 49ers earlier this year. So every time I go see a 49ers or a team, they go to the Super Bowl.
Yo, I just want to say I feel very happy for the American white people who are just discovering who Shakira is. We've known about her for decades, you know? Yo, I was going to say that meme that's going around with her right now. You know what I'm talking about, man.
You know who she is.
Yeah, play with the sound off. Imagine her doing something else. That's I'm saying.
She became big when she did that voice, when she was a judge on The Voice. And the people that didn't listen to music were like, wait, who the hell is this chick?
Yeah, it was like the Whenever was like her first big hit here, and then it was like Hips Don't Lie. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she did The Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've known Shakira since I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
The Spanish music she used to do.
Motherfucker's been known, you know.
Remember, she married a prince. I remember that. I'm like, what?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, she married some prince, and it was rumors they would do orgies and shit. I'm like,
one of those Arab princes? Because I've heard some stories about them, man.
I don't know if it was an Arab, but I know she was into some kinky stuff. It was mutual. And then eventually she got tired of it, and then she left him and started dating all these other guys.
Well, she's married to PK.
From Barcelona. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Goose says that she used to be emo before she sold out for the money.
Oh, she was kind of emo. Yeah, she used to have black hair and shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I got to be black though.
Yo, man, natural.
Yo, let's move on, man. What the fuck are we talking about? Oh yeah, does anybody want to see a game pass for any of these third parties on the panel? I'm guessing
no.
Not really.
Not
that shit.
That piecemeal shit is just not. It's not cool, man.
No es bueno.
I'd pay for an Xbox Game Pass than I want more than at least they would have everything all the other shit on there.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, oh hey, look, all the Konami games on this, all the Capcom games on this.
Yeah. I'm actually gonna cancel one of it once my year is up for the Xbox Game Pass with PC because I don't use it on the PC end. I barely use my Xbox Game Pass as it is for some games, you know, for Gears and stuff. But definitely not for PC. So.
You didn't even play Gears on that shit.
I finished it. And then nobody wants to play. It's sad because I have like 80-something friends. Not one of them is playing anything multiplayer. They're doing Hulu and Netflix.
Wait, that's Xbox for you, man. Motherfuckers do everything but play games on that system.
Exactly.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No. I'm definitely keeping my Game Pass. Xbox Game Pass, I'm keeping. It's the PC version.
Yeah,
the PC. My Ultimate. PC?
The Ultimate, correct. Remember, we jumped in because we got some crazy-ass deal.
Yeah, I paid a buck.
Yeah, it was a dollar.
And I got it for 2021.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got it for a long time. So when that expires, I don't see myself jumping into that. I'll just stick to the yearly for the console.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Man. Next question. From Capability, he's actually my friend Kevin Capaway. He was like, hey, can I ask a question? I'm like, sure, go ahead. Now, we've kind of answered this before, but I think it's good to review it again, kind of, which is, by the way, the word review is kind of ironic given the question. Anyway, his question is, should game reviewers finish the games or DLC they are reviewing? Is there a minimum of completion needed to provide an accurate review? Now, I'm going to start this off with Carlos, because out of all of us, he's the only one here who doesn't or has not reviewed any games before. Correct me if I'm wrong, Carlos.
I mean, I've reviewed games, but not
like
in the
written,
professional
like,
sense, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with you first, because the rest of us have either done it or are doing it at the moment. So what's your take on it? Should game reviewers finish the games they're reviewing?
I think it depends. Like, if you're reviewing a game like the OA, 1986, you need to beat that game, man. It doesn't take that long to beat it. And, you know, it's it's a lot of story, like heavily story based also that game. So that game, there's really no excuse. Another game like The Last of Us, you need to complete that game to review it. I don't think you can just, you know, go halfway and review what the story's about and how it ends. And, you know, you can't really do that. But if you're playing a game like, I don't know, Dragon Quest XI or something like that, like, I think if you put 20, 30, 40 hours and still haven't completed it, I think you're in a good position to review it in a sense. I mean, I think there should always be... So the reviewer should always mention, like, oh, I didn't, like, I just want to let everyone know I didn't finish it, but I did, you know, I put in 20, I put in 30, I put in 40 hours into this game, and I feel, you know, sufficient enough to review and to give my thoughts on this game, especially if it's a game that they didn't really like, because, if I mean, they could be like, you know what, I played this game, I played 10 hours of it, and I just didn't, I could not get through this. I think that's another scenario. It's like, if you play a game and you just can't keep, like, force yourself to keep playing it, then I guess you should put that into your review. So yeah, that's sort of my opinion on that.
Yeah. All right. Adam, I'll kind of save you a little bit for later. Manny, when you reviewed games, did you like feel you had to finish them, or did you just play enough? Like, what was your
philosophy on it? I ran to the old school moniker that we used to do when we did on cool stuff. We always used to finish our games, so I always finished the games. The only time I never did finish a game was if I was reviewing a game that was a remaster or remake of a remaster of what I did. So like when I did Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker and Metal Gear 2, when they re-released those, I already knew those games left back, right, left, and crooked. So I just needed to play a little bit of the game to just get an idea. Same thing with the with the Metal Gear Solid for the Game Boy. Not Game Boy, was it for 3DS? The 3DS version.
Yeah.
And I kind of went through, I only played maybe a little bit of, maybe after after the first cinematic, after that, after the titles actually show up, to kind of get an idea of like, okay, this is what they did, was what the things, they slight things they changed, and they add new control aspects and all kinds of stuff. So I think it's variable. I think I sort of agree with Carlos, but I do think that from some games, I do think story-driven games should be finished all the way through, because the way you begin can be different from the way the game ends. So like, for instance, Mass Effect 3, right? If you didn't play Mass Effect 3 all the way through, that game, at least for you, Tony, would have been the greatest game ever.
Yes.
Then you played the ending, and that totally screwed the game over for you, right?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I have to keep that in mind, because I got to bring up that point. Chris, you also not only reviewed games before, but you're currently getting back into it. You did a Luigi's Mansion 3, it's your latest review. So what's your take on this?
Yeah, I agree somewhat. Like when I talked about Evil Within way back in the day when it came out, I beat that game, and I thought it was trash. But with Luigi's Mansion, I played through a good part of it, and I was like, I'm in a good place to write, because I played the second game and I beat it, and I felt like it was like more of the same. They just added little nice little features, but I was like, I already know this game, so I know what to expect, and the story's kind of moving along where it's like pretty predictable. So I was like, okay, I'm in a good place. Like, I know where this is going. But May makes a good point. Like, if you're playing a Telltale game, play it all the way through. But if you're playing a very narrative-driven story game, then you have to play it through. I think maybe you give little flower badges if it's like Dean Takahashi or something. might take him a while. Yo, did you see his Doom Eternal preview video?
Oh, no.
Yo, that might be more embarrassing than Cuphead.
Damn.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to see this.
Forget the air dash shit, man. He couldn't get out of this lava area. It was like 20 minutes just for him to jump on some platforms.
Was it as bad as Author Guys when he played Doom? Remember that shit? He couldn't even use the fucking gun correctly. Was it that bad?
This was Epic in like Dean Takahashi and platforming don't get along, right? That's what I'll say. This is almost like the Cuphead tutorial all over again, but with Doom. And I was like, how the fuck are you not doing this, man? Like, shit.
Jesus, man.
Yo, where I started yelling at the video. Yo, that's Chris. How bad it was.
Yo, by the way, Chris.
That's bad, bro.
Just to interject on your Luigi's Mansion point, mm-hmm. I think you can apply that to a lot of Nintendo first party. Super Mario Odyssey, you don't really need to beat that to review it. Breath of the Wild?
No, like those games, they're mostly gameplay, so you know, they're mostly gameplay stuff, and they're not gonna have a huge revelation at the end of the game. Oh no, Mario's actually Luigi.
Like 5 hours in, you know what game you got you're playing. Yeah. You know what it's about.
Oh my god, yo! I can make jokes right now, but I can't do it, man. Because we got to be a little bit cleaner these days, motherfuckers. What was I gonna say? So anyway, Chris, last thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I think it's like a case by case basis. If you're doing like I would say narrative driven, except if you're doing a heavy RPG, I wouldn't expect somebody to finish like Dragon's Quest 11 before they write the review. That might take a while, especially a heavy like what was the one Riku was playing? Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to finish that game before you review it. Your review will come out next year. Yes. So get a good feel and do it. But if it's like if something like. Something like Mass Effect or some or a Telltale game for sure. Finish it, and you can write a review for sure.
Yeah, right, Adam. Yeah, go ahead.
Shout out to Chris for saying Dragon's Quest 11.
Dragon's Quest, yeah. Adam, like myself, you currently are a game reviewer. So what's your take on this? What's your philosophy?
There's a few factors, as you know. The big one for me, and I'm sure you see this, is timing.
Yeah.
It's when you get the time. If let's say if it's something that you already own and you're like, all right, I'm going to review it, I got time. But let's say if a publisher says, hey, review this. This would be great if you want to do it. You accept. Then they give you a time and then you wait for the code depending on the time. And if they don't give you adequate time and you know it's a long game, then you won't have time to review it. You know, some games... there was one game. What was it that it was? It was the guys who did Until Dawn. I can't believe I'm blanking on their name. But Man of Medan. They sent me that Man of Medan. They gave me 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I was able to play it in multiple angles. Because, you know, it's one of those where the story so I had plenty of time. But then there's others where they'll just give you, like, a day. I'm like, oh, yeah, here, review it. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, all right, well, it's not going to be on this release date because...
Super Giant, by the way. Thank you, Goose, for that. Super Giant Games.
Yeah, so... Yeah. But that's pretty much... That's a big factor for it. And then also, case by case. If it's something that you know you can fly through, then go for it. But if you know it's something like what you talked about, some of these longer-end games, you could mention, it's like, hey, I got to this certain point, but that's like 20, 30 hours in. Whether the story progresses and changes, that's fine. But from what I've seen and what the average person is going to see, I mean, that was the big thing with the Death Stranding. And I think that's where the controversy, because a lot of people would say, well, after 8 hours in, things change. And I'm like, whoa, 8 hours. There's some people that don't even put 2 hours. And we know that from the damn trophy.
Yeah,
you know, they don't even get that far. So it all depends on what people are looking for in a game, if they just want to know the gist of it, or if they really want a full spoiler review, which most people don't. So then if that's the case, then you don't really need to play the entire game.
It's an interesting case with Death Stranding because the game changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it becomes that it kind of lulls you into that sort of grind, like, okay, this is what I do, this is what I do. And then it throws a monkey wrench at you, you know?
But then
it's so you keep going. Yeah, for me, it's different. Yeah, obviously when all of us here except for Carlos, when we were doing cool stuff, I always finished the games and then I read it, just like, because again, back then it was just like, okay, I'm just playing a game like normal and then I'm going to review it. Then when I started doing it more professionally, my philosophy still didn't change, because even back in those days when I was at STFU and Dual Shockers and even the Coalition, I only maybe review a game a month or something like that, so it wasn't really a big deal. Now that I'm professional, things obviously change. I have to review maybe 4 or 5 games a month, right? I've had to change things. Obviously, if they send me a game early, perfect example, Horizon Zero Dawn, I got the game 2 weeks beforehand, right? I finished the shit out of that, right?
Yeah, you got time.
Spider-Man, they gave it to me maybe 5 days before embargo lifted. I did that shit. That was nothing. God of War, I cranked that out in 2 days, but they gave me like a week beforehand. In those situations, I'm going to finish the game, right? But if you send me something, even Days Gone, as actually, yeah, I got that 2 weeks early and I was able to finish that. But if you send me the game specifically, like, hey, the game drops on Tuesday, you send me the code on Monday, you ain't getting that review for a while. I'm taking my fucking time. You know what I'm saying? But there are certain instances where I feel that if I've played enough of a game, I'm going to review it. But I will admit, I am lucky that I don't do formal reviews. You know, I geek.com, I kind of just do more like impressions, you know. Granted, they do say review on it, but I kind of just do more impressions. But what the shit I do for PC Mag, I finish those games. You know, that has to be a full-on review for the most part. You know, except for Kakarot. I played enough of that shit. You know, I got to do that. Like, I played like maybe 15 hours. I'm like, all right, I see what this game's all about. I don't need to go on. So I kind of, you know, for me, it's more of a gut feeling. Like, okay, have I played enough of this game where I feel comfortable enough to talk about this in an authoritative manner? That's what I kind of go with. You know, some games I beat, some games I don't. But you're right, there are those cases where a game could flip on you. A game could completely flip on you. These are the best two examples I give, and they're old school games. But old school, like last gen old school. Dante's Inferno and fuck, Brett isn't here. I'm going to say it the right way. Dragon Age 2, right? Dante's Inferno, if I would have played that game for the first 5 hours, I'm like, this game's fucking incredible. This is like God of War level shit. I fucking love this, right? If I would have reviewed at the 7 hour point, I would be like, this is one of the greatest games of the generation. Thing is, the last half of the game is trash. Complete bullshit, right? Dragon Age, opposite. First half of the game is like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, this isn't like Dragon Age Origins. What is this nonsense? Then the ending comes like, oh shit, this game is fucking dope. You know, so I always often wonder, like, what would happen if I were to review those games like now? I wouldn't be able to finish Dragon Age or, actually, no, I could finish Dante's Inferno. That's like a 17 hour game. I could do that. But yeah, that would be interesting. I probably would have written a bad review of Dragon Age 2 until I got to the ending. And I don't do those like re-reviews like some other sites do, which will remain unnamed.
Yeah, but then, no. Then that means I don't do re-reviews. If you have to wait till the end to say, wow, that was an amazing experience, then that sucks.
Well, I mean, some games can throw you a monkey wrench, like the game Mass Effect.
Yeah, Mass Effect.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 was amazing, right? For 90% of it. Then that ending comes completely.
Issue with that one.
We've gone over that many times. The colored fucking endings, that was bullshit. You know,
the museum. I did the museum ending with the grandpa and the kid, and I was okay with it. I'm like, all right, whatever. Shit.
It's just like the ending. A lot of times, the ending is paramount. It's the culmination of what the game represents, especially narrative wise.
If you're playing a narrative game, just like if you're watching a movie, why are you watching it? To see the ending, how it all wraps up. That's the movie that you're there.
Wait, did you like Uncharted's ending?
Huh?
The latest one, the Uncharted, like the official.
Yeah, I kind of had a, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like no one's ever going to be fully satisfied, like, wow, that's the ending.
Uncharted 2, though, son.
Uncharted is good. But Uncharted 4's ending wasn't as bad as Mass Effect 3's ending. And that's the problem, because Mass Effect 3, I'm expecting a great ending.
All right, so what did you expect?
I expected something more competent.
I've had this debate too many times. We're not gonna go down this road with Mass Effect 3 again. I want to read a quick comment here from Goose. He says, my take on it is that the reviewer should finish the game in order to review it. Again, that is good. That's a good way of seeing it. In an ideal world, that would be true. But sometimes if you have five games in front of you and they're 100 hours each, you ain't finishing all that shit. Impossible.
Here's the thing. Tony in general is known for being a very, very fast game player in general. Now, if he can't finish a certain amount of games, that means that he has a lot on his plate.
Like
when we were younger, like he'd be like, yeah, like 3-4 days, yeah, done, got everything, right? But now you got to do that on everything.
Yep, it's, pretty much.
You know,
I have to pretty much gorge on every single game I play, you know. Not a complaint, that's just the way it is. What's going on, Gamer Tag Radio in the house?
What's up?
By the way, I'm on episode 997 of Gamer Tag Radio, which is available right now. So check it out. Prove it. Go check them out, man.
Prove it.
Was that from your trip?
Yes, it was over San Francisco. I still got to tell you guys about that, but that's not for this show. Goose, here's the thing. You do have a question, but you already have two. We submitted two, just to be fair to everybody. That is a good question. It related to this one. I'll throw it in there. How much does the drive for clicks contribute to reviewers not finishing games? In my experience, I'm talking about for myself right now. I don't know. I don't write reviews for fucking clicks. I just write my opinion and that's it, you know? But I'm pretty sure there are people out there, and this is just me speculating now. Actually, not speculating. I kind of know some examples. There are some people out there that will write a specific type of headline that makes you think the review is going to go one way, but then you read the review and it goes a completely other way, but they write that headline specifically to get the clicks. But I, you know, you guys know me, I don't traffic in that shit. What you get is what you see, and that's it. I don't fuck around, you know? And that's that, man. So let us move on here to the next question. By the way, Black Metal Gamer, we may answer your first question later because you've actually asked us that before, but if there's time, we'll see what happens. All right. Actually, next up is PacDan16. That's a new name.
It is a new name.
Yeah. So welcome, sir or madam. We don't know. You know, we don't judge around him. All right. His first question is, or her question is, I'm pretty sure it's a guy. Let's just be real. All right. Come on, man. Let's just be honest here. All right. What features would you most like to see implemented in a firmware update to the Nintendo Switch in 2020. The most commonly requested actions seem to be folders for game organization and home menu themes, both of which are a big part of the Nintendo 3DS system menu. Adam, I'm starting with you since you're probably the most, biggest, you know,
Switch user. He's right. Was it like a year, maybe 2 years ago, we saw this supposed leak of a new firmware that had folders and themes, and that's something that we had on the 3DS. So it's not foreign to us. They can do it. They just haven't done it. And we've heard rumors of, oh, well, because of the memory, there's not enough internal system memory, but slow things down. But damn, I think we're going to go through the entire cycle of the Switch without any enhancements to the interface itself. It's just all the games lined up, then you just click this bucket that just has all your other games, and it sucks. It really sucks. There's no folders, there's no themes.
They can't fit it, that's why. There's not enough memory on there.
That's what I'm saying.
I have an alternative theory.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
But they'll implement that on the Switch Pro.
Yeah, right.
Watch.
But didn't they say there's no Pro? Didn't they confirm that? They sent that out over the weekend.
What do you mean? They lied about it? Sure. They've done that before. I mean, when the game press leaked that there was a 3DS XL coming, Kimishima came out himself and said that was not true. And then 2 weeks later, fucking came out. So they say that shit all the time.
Well, I hope it is because it kind of sucks. There's nothing there. And yeah, he's right. That we want folders, we want themes, we want some.
No. What I mean is, it will have the folders and themes.
Yeah,
you're not going to get it with your Switch.
I'm not going to get it. But that just answers question what we do want.
Yeah, that's it.
And then they'll make you buy a totally new Switch, and they won't allow you to bring over the stuff from your last Switch.
In all honesty, I don't play my Switch nearly long enough for me to care. So whatever, I'm just being real. I don't give a shit. So how many hours I put into that shit last year? 36 hours, and 24 of those was my nephew playing Fortnite. Don't give a fuck.
I don't own a Switch, and I haven't had any. There's no reasons for me to buy it as of now. So I have no opinion as to what, you know, the interface, but it would be nice if you could customize it. I do feel like it's a little bit odd that you can't even just can't take a picture with the stupid thing and then stick it on the background. The simplest form of customization, right?
I really believe it is. It has something to do with the memory because they were making a killing because they charged for themes before mm-hmm. the 3DS. And I know people that would just buy them up constantly. Whenever there was a new one, whether it's Zelda or Smash Brothers, they're like, oh, I gotta get it. And so they would be making a lot of money, especially with all the people that own the Switch now. So since they didn't have that out, it tells me there's gotta be something behind the scenes that they feel like it really just can't support it at this time.
I don't know. I'm with Chris on this one. When they do the new version of the Switch, it's gonna have a bunch of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's not gonna be available on ours, baby. You know? It's bullshit, Mr. Dave. I wonder if it's going to be a little bigger, too, like the Switch XL or some shit, you know? Maybe they'll have buttons for, you know, grown hands.
Actually, speaking of that, I just recently bought the grip. What do you call those things? Grips that you put on the Switch? Because
they have the fat backs. They have the butts.
They got the fat backs. Well, Adam, what you're talking about right now, son? he's thinking about the fucking Shakira thing. Right, fat back and J Lo. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yo, so this one actually, I saw this on Amazon, and the reviews are freaking crazy. Maybe it's just Nintendo fans there. You know, they boosted all the reviews up, but it's got 5 stars with over 1,000 ratings. So
did it come with the little rubbers for the thumbsticks?
The rubbers for the thumbsticks.
Yes. So I have the same ones. Yeah, but it's got the thick fat backs on the back, and it's silicone. I know it did. Thick fat backs. It gives you grip.
I don't know. I don't know the technical term, but it does. I will confirm. It does have junk on the trunk.
Yeah, it feels like you're holding a real controller, right? That's what it offers.
That's what I hope for, man.
Yes.
Gosh.
They're okay. It's all right.
It's called Satisfy. Satisfy is the name of the company, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
If Brian no man here, satisfied could, with yeah. the fat backs.
Yeah. If Brian was here, he'd probably give more insight because he plays the Switch heavy, you know?
Yeah, Brian's been...
Yeah.
I just use my 8B, dude. That's it. I just use my controller.
What'd you call me?
I don't like the Joy-Con.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. Where the fuck are we? All right. This is an interesting question. This is a very interesting one. Pac-Man's 40th anniversary is this year. It is unknown at this point what Bandai Namco will do to celebrate the iconic Chompin mascot this May. Letting Jossie cough there. All right. My question is, what is your favorite game in the Pac-Man franchise, if you have one? And what would you want to see from the franchise next? Personally, I have been a fan for many years. Unfortunately, right now, gamers are a long way from days when Pac-Man had a lot of mainline entries and spinoffs in the early 2000s, especially such as the popular Pac-Man World Series. The reason this is interesting is we've been doing this show, throwing your questions, right? You know, for years. I think this is the first time we got a Pac-Man question.
Yep, I think
like
it is.
Like a dedicated Pac-Man question. Very interesting.
Good.
You know, I like the question. So,
I love Pac-Man. Remember, I had my arcade one-up. My first one was a Pac-Man. Yeah, and then I went to that Nintendo, the Xbox tournament thing that Larry Herb sent me. But yeah, Champions Edition, the first one. The second one sucked. That's the only way I could see it getting better, just continuing that. They add too much and it ruins the game. It's no longer Pac-Man.
What's the Pac-Man that came out for the 360? It was really...
That was Champions Edition.
Was it Champions Edition?
Yeah, I was about to say, that is my favorite Pac-Man. Because you could actually slow Pac-Man down and shit.
Yes, like,
that was dope. And then the sequel fucking sucked.
It was horrible. It was so bad. So bad.
Excuse me?
Oh, Brett, we can't hear you, man. Oh, shit, I thought this man was still in Hawaii.
I had to uninstall and reinstall Discord and shit.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, he is in Hawaii.
No, he is. Look at his fucking loft.
By the way, happy belated birthday to
Brett Murdoch. Yo, and shout out to the pod dog.
The pod dog.
The pod pup.
The pod. There we go. Pod pup. Right. Thank you for being on, Brett. That's awesome, man. Haven't seen you in a while, brother. All right. What the fuck are we talking? Oh, yeah, Pac-Man. Brett, do you like Pac-Man? Do you have any favorite Pac-Man games?
Probably just the OG one, man.
Yeah. Did you ever play?
What's that?
Did you ever play Champion Edition or whatever? Champion. Edition is fucking amazing, dude.
Champion.
No, I didn't. That sounds. It was so good.
Yeah. It was so good. So good.
But yeah, we don't know what if Bandai Namco is going to do anything. It would be cool. It would be appropriate because that's the game that put them on the map. Let's just be honest, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't even port that over,
man. You know,
Pac-Man.
Even for the Switch, they only had the second one, which was so bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was bad. Anyway, anybody else want to jump in on the Pac-Man questions?
Maybe they'll actually
bring Miss Pac-Man back.
They can't.
There's some legal shit behind
that. There's legal shit. That's actually owned by Midway or Warner Brothers now because they...
That's right, yeah.
Because they... what it was that Bally Midway essentially had the rights to make Pac-Man games. And they're like, yes, we really, really... We have this new version that's faster and all this stuff. So we want to, you know, we want to put this out, and that's, so it's their, Mrs. Pac-Man is their property. The only thing is that being they don't have the rights to Pac-Man, they can't call it Miss, they can't call it Miss Pac-Man. So it's weird. Yeah. So yeah, Namco has to go and buy it.
Yeah. All right.
Who owns Pac-Man Jr.? Because Pac-Man Jr. was crazy.
Remember that one? That fucking game. Yeah.
That one was nuts because the map is so big. I still have it on here. I put it on later. I mean, it's massive, and they never made another one like that.
It depends on whoever made it. I don't know if it was because I don't know how many versions Namco actually made. So it could have just been whoever made their whoever was doing their arcade producing the arcades in the States or something like that. That where it came from. So it's a little bit sketchy, as they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other Pac-Man? Answers here?
I like the original one for me.
The original one's good, but Champion Edition is that's the one I go to, man.
If they do make another Pac-Man, it should have champions. It should have the original.
Yes.
It should have a few of the other variations, but can scrap 2 because that was horrible. Champions 2 was...
Yeah, that was
It was really bad. People were like, well, how could they mess it up? They mess it up. They have a big-ass ghost. The big ghost is chasing you. You can jump around from different parts and stuff. Pac-Man shouldn't jump.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. All right. I'm going to throw in a quick question here from Killer Instinct, aka Weapon X. When is the next E-Man draws or throwdown draws?
Throwdown draws? There should be one happening soon. I just have to get through some work, but you might, if you looked on my Twitter, there's small previews of what that might be. I mean, namely a specific video on there. Yeah. So it'll show up on there eventually. It's because I have C2E2 coming up literally in March, or March 1st, so I got to get that stuff done. So it's probably going to coincide with that.
Cool. All right, next question. I'm going to start doing something cool now. I'm going to start tossing the question, at least a short version of it, in the chat so you guys know what the fuck we're talking about.
Oh, that's right. Cool. Where you get that idea from?
Yeah, and, you know, these things just come, man, out of thin air. All right, so the next question is from Goose. Man, we're giving you props right now, brother. So his first question is, Microsoft has invested lots of capital and resources into next gen, a new Xbox, 13 plus studio acquisitions, Xbox Game Pass, etc. I have placed a bet on them making money on services instead of hardware. Sony seems to be sticking to the tried and true formula of selling the customer a box and keeping them in their ecosystem with exclusives. Which of these business models do you think is going to prevail next gen? All right, so yeah, we got Xbox, you know, pretty much turning their shit into a service. You got Sony doing what they've been doing. Which one do you think is going to be more successful next generation?
Among which audience?
Gamers in general. Because let me explain it. Do you see potentially Sony's fans going, yo, we want that shit. We want that Game Pass on PlayStation.
Yeah, eventually. I think it's a generational thing. I think old heads like us still like the PlayStation, but I think games as a service, I mean, it's the writing on the wall. It's the inevitable future. It's like digital downloads. You know, we all fought it for a while, but it's going to be where the next generation is raised with, you know, that's going to be their normal. And that's it's just going to be fun, you know, like some of the DLC, like, it's not great. We've seen it happen with a bunch of other stuff, but I think it's just... I think younger gamers and people who play like Call of Duty and Madden and things like that, who view gaming as an activity, respond better to gaming as a service. People who like gaming as an art form tend to stick with Sony. And I know that's broad strokes, but Sony has built its audience off of strong narrative games. It's built its audience off of, you know, exclusives and strong narrative games. That's been their thing. They've been single player, you know, it's Sony single player, Microsoft multiplayer, but the world's getting more integrated and you can't live alone forever, and either Sony's going to have to follow suit or eventually they're going to lose their market share. And I think that they're going to follow suit, but I think digital and streaming and cloud saves and not owning the things that you buy, I mean, this is everything's going to be packaged into a service for the next generation. It's all going to be normalized for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Remember, it used to be an issue with music. Remember, way back when we heard this, the same argument was happening when we started seeing music stores fading out and everything going digital. I'm like, oh, but you know, I still want the collection because I want to have the book with all the lyrics and stuff. But then after a while, we noticed they weren't coming. We would get a CD and we just have a sleeve. Where were all the lyrics? Where were all the cool pictures?
I think the thing about it, and this is the bigger sad part of it, is that the media starts to become more disposable. You know, music nowadays, the music industry is probably the worst it's ever been because of these streaming services. Mm-hmm. No new artist can make nearly as much money to support themselves now because of how piecemeal and how small, how disposable all of music is. Now, what if games became that way?
Yeah, and
they kind of are on mobile phones.
Oh yeah. Yeah, mobile phones, they ruined it when they started selling games for $1. So now if anything's more than $1, people are like, what the hell? I'm not paying that much. Mm-hmm. So they screwed themselves with that. But it's funny because we remember when all these artists were complaining about record labels. Oh, we don't want a record label. We want to go independent, this and that. Well, we got these services, these streaming services. Now record labels aren't looking so bad, you know, compared to this.
Right? Yeah, because they give you money at least.
You know, now an artist can't get residuals for their music, and there's all this stuff that's happening. You know, they have to be on tour in order to make music as a musician, as opposed to just
have a massive back catalog,
or have like a massive back catalog.
When Tool jumped in, that, you know, was like number one on Spotify, they made all this fucking money. You know, so
but then you know, slight tangent, but then you notice on places that are traditionally physical items, right, which is like the heavy metal community, you notice that like a lot of heavy metal bands are breaking the top 40 now because their fans still buy actual products.
Yeah, supposed to digital, yeah. As for this question, I don't know yet. I'm just speaking for myself right now. It's a little too early because, you know, this whole Game Pass thing is still fairly new, you know what I'm saying? So I don't really know. I don't really see the PlayStation guys, at least the current guys, you know, that are currently on the system, demanding a Game Pass thing. But like Brett said, maybe the younger guys would be like, hey, you know, I kind of want that, you know. But I'll stop right now because that's exactly where I was going to go next, Carlos. You know, let's just say for the sake of argument that hip hop is right about this and PlayStation 5 is going to have full backwards compatibility, right? That'll kind of offset, you know, them not having a Game Pass because you'd have literally 25 years worth of games. Now, granted, I don't think it's going to be every PlayStation 1 game. It's going to be whatever is already digitally available at the point. But if they have if they have full backwards compatibility, that'll probably keep people quiet, for lack of a better term, you know, as to Sony not having its own version of Game Pass. I know they have PS Now and all that, but that's not exactly like Game Pass, you know, so it'll be interesting to see for sure.
I'll tell you the turning point. The turning point will be is if, let's say, they get on mobile, they get on their tablets, on your phones. You can do that over the network, fine. But if you have the capacity, you can download the game offline and play them offline with a controller. Then it's a wrap. Because that was a big deal for a lot of services with Netflix, even these streaming services. Once they offered the ability to just download it to your device, that way if you were in a train or you're somewhere where you didn't have Wi-Fi service, you had your content, then that changed everything, because then you felt like you had it. It was yours. Now you actually have something. You know that game or that movie, whatever, that's physically on your content, your device now. You're not streaming it. So I could see that being the turning point. If, let's say, with this new xCloud that comes out, okay, fine to stream it, but everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to stream it. So, hey, if you have, your device has a capacity, it'll download the game, 7 gigs or whatever. It'll put the game on there, maybe a compressed form, but it will play, and it's on your device. And you support the controller, that'll be a game changer. There are a lot of people that'll be like, shit, I think if you're on a plane or something like that and you want to play your PS4 game or your Xbox game, like, damn, I have a tablet, I have a controller. Oh, I can just load it on there and just play it? Shit. All right, I'll sign up.
Yo, I'm going to say this right now, and also I'm going to say this because Gamer Tag Radio is currently in the chat right now. So when I was hanging out with them in the hotel room, I got to check out the Project X Cloud. You know, it's the beta version, right? I got to play. So what I did was I immediately jumped into Destiny because I'm like, okay, I want a game that needs immediate controls. You know what I'm saying? And then remember, this is all 100% streaming, right? Adam, I didn't see any fucking input lag. It played perfectly. It was like, oh, shit. So imagine playing like fucking Spider-Man or God of War on your phone when you're on the go and shit. That's pretty crazy, you know? So, like, and it, you know, even when I was playing it, I really did think to myself, like, yo, Sony needs something like this. I really thought that. Like, I wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? Just a thought that just popped up. Like, Sony kind of needs this, you know? Like, obviously, you're not getting the best graphics or whatever, but let's just be honest. If you're playing on the go, you're not really looking for graphics. You know, you do that when you come home and chill and shit. So,
playing on the go, if the only key thing there is if your save progress carries
over. Yeah, carries over. Yeah. Xbox, at least Xbox does, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Then that's it. Because then it's like, hey, I'm playing. It's not 100% like the home thing, but you know what? It's playable. It's fun. And I know I'm progressing in my game. So when I do go home and I sit back, relax, hey, that half hour, the hour gameplay carries over. I can keep on with my story. That's what people want.
Yeah. But that's still just coming up right now. We don't know if it's going to become the prevailing thing. I think right now at this moment, PlayStation guys, let's just be honest, they're hard-headed. They're going to stick with what they're going to stick to, you know. But, you know, maybe the newer people that are going to come into the ecosystem will want some changes. I don't know. Me, for myself, I'm sticking with the old school. You know, just my PlayStation, my downloaded games on my hard drive, on my TV, and that's that. But I could see where the technology is taking us. Next generation, generation that's coming up, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna start off kind of traditional, and it's gonna change within the first 2 or 3 years. It's gonna change to something else. I'm saying that right now on air, you know. So it's gonna be very interesting.
What's proving that this is what people want? Just look at the Switch. Look at all these old games that were from last gen that are being ported over and fucking selling like hotcakes.
Yeah,
why are they doing it? It doesn't look as good as what it
was. I was just about to say, like, think about it like this: those games look like Dookie, right? I played Doom, I played Skyrim. Yeah. They look and run like fucking shit, but people still like them because they're portable. You know,
it's portable. Yeah. Take that.
Like for me, that's not a selling point, but I could see how that is for some other people. You know,
that's it. And then the sales prove it. That's what people want.
It's interesting, man. I'm telling you. You know, anybody else want to jump in on this? Brett, you have any thoughts? Oh, Brett already gave me thoughts. Carlos.
Oh no, I give my thoughts too.
All right, Chris.
Streaming?
Yeah, like, you know, which model do you think is gonna
prevail? Which model?
Yeah, Microsoft's or Sony's next generation. You know, Sony's being more traditional and Xbox is being play wherever the fuck you want.
I think Microsoft's is more forward thinking, and I think a lot of younger gamers are gonna embrace it. I honestly think the days of buying a branded box just to play, Sony titles or Nintendo, that's going to go away in several years, maybe less. Mm. So Microsoft model is going to be the pervasive one. And I think they have a better chance of pulling it off because they have a better sense of the gaming community. Or I think Google wants to do that, and they're doing it, but they didn't implemented well, and they don't have the goodwill and good faith of like gamers. They didn't build an ecosystem. They just kind of jumped in there and they're like, yeah, Stadia, you know, we got 12 games.
That's embarrassing.
Yo, by the way, by the way, I love how Chris was saying this, like, you know, really deep shit. Me, and I had the camera on Manny playing with fucking toys. Who is that? Joe Fixit? Who the fuck is that? Oh, it's just the Hulk. Oh, I thought it was Joe Fixit.
It's the Hulk.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, we can't hear you.
Yeah. I said it is Joe Fixit if you put a suit on it.
Okay, yeah, because it kind of looked gray on my end, you know.
Yeah, it's the Gray Hulk.
Okay, it is Joe Fixit.
Chris is right. Chris is right because think about this generation. They're used to not owning everything. They're used to services. They're used to their Netflix and their Spotify, the iTunes music.
Yeah, the younger guys. Exactly.
They don't know what it is to go to someone's house and see a collection of movies or games up on a wall and stuff. It's not about that. It's all about taking things on the go, just having easy point and click, easy access. And so for them, this is where they're going to go. They're going to see it as a no-brainer because they're like, I do all my movies, I do all my music, I do all my books, I'm going to do all my games.
Chris, I got a follow-up question for you. So do you believe, you know, based on what you said, that this will be the last traditional console-like generation?
I think the ninth generation might be it.
Whoa. Bold statement, man.
Yeah, because I don't see a PlayStation 6 or if Sony does do a PlayStation 6, I think they may be in the blue ocean by themselves. Oh, shit. I don't know. That would just be holding on to tradition because, like, think about it, like, new gamers come in all the time. They're going to be like, what's the logic of this? I don't own a Netflix box for Netflix. I don't own Hulu or Disney Plus box. I just have my TV or have a Roku or whatever, and it plays all this shit. Yeah. So they're going to want the same thing with their games as a service. They're like, I just have my fucking TV or I have my phone and I just want to play this game and it's on PlayStation, it's on Xbox or whatever. I just want to play this shit right on the device I have. Right?
Have you ever looked at a kid, like a younger person playing like Fortnite or anything on their phones or anything like that? They don't, they're not worried about what platform. They're not worried about it. As long as it's playing the game that they like, it doesn't matter. And I think that's the order of business for a lot of sort of non-gamery people. It's just like, and you realize that a lot of those, Joe Blow is usually the one that buys these sort of stuff. It's also the reason why, it's the lowest common denominator. It's always buying that. That's which the regular public, the enthusiast. That's why they put out the Pro and the Xbox X, for the enthusiasts. But really, most people don't care, and I think that's what it really is. So Chris, they just want to play the hot game.
Yeah. So Chris, do you envision, like, for example, you'll buy like a the quote unquote game box, right? And on the game box, you'll have the PlayStation app, and the Xbox app, right? And then from those, you'll play the games. By the way, notice how I didn't mention a certain other company. That company is not going to do this for another 20 years. You know who we're talking about. They're not doing that shit at all. So Chris, you see something, or maybe you'd be like, hey, get a Roku. There's a PlayStation app. Play your games right there. Here's a buy a controller.
And they could even, because Sony and Microsoft now have done some partnership where Sony's going to leverage the Azure architecture to do PSN and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So who's to say they don't go, hey, you want to put Xbox in the Bravia? And then Sony sells the Bravia TVs and it's like, hey, you got PlayStation 9, you got Xbox.
Shit.
Right there. On your TV, all you need is the TV. You don't need anything else. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Or what is it? What's the stop? Essentially, again, like, as opposed to it being an actual box. Like you having a box, like what you said, it has a PlayStation app or the thing, and it has those sorts of games. Dude, you don't need to be able to run
it. You just need the app on your TV, and you're good to go.
TV's got a computer.
I can see that on Roku. I can see that coming to all kinds of little streaming devices. Hey, just get a controller, and you're good to go.
Think about that emerging market too. Like, the first person to be the Netflix of streaming gaming services and plant their flag there, they're fucking set, man. They're just gonna rake in. Money.
Xbox is already doing that in a sense.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, they're trying to be the first ones to that line and plant their flag there. And quite frankly, they're suffering because of it. But they're holding that spot until the rest of the industry catches up. And when it does, it'll be great for them.
Well, not only that, they'll have the infrastructure when it does become
the mainstream. They will,
Well, I mean, I feel like out of all of them, even more than Sony, I think Microsoft has a better, I think they're a bit in a better position than let's say a Sony or someone or also Google,
Everybody's better than Google right now.
Before we finish this topic, I'm going to pour one out for online, man.
I knew somebody that had that a long time ago, but there was just not good games. That was the thing.
Five years too soon, man.
Too soon.
Right.
That was on everything. That was on TVs for a while. That had that, and of course all the other little devices had it. So they were forward thinking.
All right, man, let's move on. Next question from Mr. Goose here. During the 7th and 8th generations, which is this gen and last gen, third-party exclusives kind of fell by the wayside. It wasn't financially responsible for third-party publishers / developers to invest millions and limit their market by making their games available on only one console. But some of the biggest and best-selling franchises are third-party. Do you fellas see platform holders such as Microsoft or Sony shelling out big bucks to keep third-party games exclusive to their platform, or at least more so than they did this generation? He's talking about like Sony had with Destiny for a little bit, Rise of Tomb Raider, shit like that. Do you think we're going to see more of that next generation, or do you think third-party exclusives are going to kind of go the way of the dinosaur?
I don't see it. Yeah, I think it's gone. I think Uncle Phil decided to go a different route and just buy a bunch of studios and just have them make shit. That was it. Instead of spending that money for something just for a short-term game, buy a studio, have long-term game. I don't see that happening for next gen. I'm sure Sony will still do it. They'll still pull it off because that's just what they like to do. you know, and Microsoft used to be that way too. But
for like a single game, because I don't see that happening anymore either.
Yeah, I don't see it anymore.
Like, you know, Mass
Effect, Tomb Raider did that. Hell, we still have that with Call of Duty. The DLC is coming next year to Xbox.
Well, let's not forget Street Fighter also.
That's they paid for that. Wasn't that Sony paid for that development?
They developed by the way, I heard Street Fighter V was coming to Switch, which would be hilarious. I'm like, damn, even Xbox ain't getting it. Wow.
Switch didn't even get 4. I wish it would get 4.
Yeah, 4 was dope, man. Yeah, you could get like Ultra Street
Fighter. Ultra fucking sweeper.
Yeah, Ultra was the butter one. But it's third party exclusives are pretty much dead. I don't see. I mean, is there even a true third party, like major third party exclusive, like that's just exclusive to one specific platform and not like console and PC or. You know, like,
I know. I was about to say Sunset Overdrive, but yeah, that's on PC too.
Yep. Mm. So like, case,
you know, it would have been Death Stranding, but they're going to PC. So
yeah,
Death Stranding is a second party, I guess. Technically,
Pac-Man. What up, brother? We answered your question too, man. Very interesting. We never got asked about Pac-Man before on this show. You know. Which is kind of funny. You got a bunch of old farts except for Carlos here. Chris, go on.
Well, I think Phil Spencer set a precedent now to... He has killed this idea because, Microsoft went and bought all these studios. And then what does that force everyone else to do? Sony had to go, let's get Insomniac. Before Phil gets it, let's just get this. So before you had third-party exclusives, now they're just... they're either Microsoft or Sony, right? You know, they were just trying to keep their segments out of each other's hands, and you know, so I don't think it would behoove any smaller guys who are not affiliated with Sony or Microsoft to go, we'll just make this Xbox exclusive. I don't think there's enough incentive from one or the other. It seems like they just went all in. It's like if they want your game exclusive, they're just going to buy you. Take it. And it's first party.
Yeah. But I'm really thinking about it, right? It's like every quote unquote console exclusive or third party console exclusive is on PC too. So it's not really an exclusive.
No.
It's crazy, man. So I think we all agree, right? We're not really going to see any of this next gen, like a one off third party exclusive.
There might be like the rare occasion,
One, yeah. But even then, I still think it'll be timed. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe a year or so.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't make any sort of sense that they would lock it down unless they
Heck, even PlayStation first party exclusives are going to PC now. So it's
Remember, Horizon Zero Dawn is still rumored. I know it came from Jason Schreier and all that, but still put that sal on it. You know what I'm saying? And a little bit of Goya too. You know, because we're Hispanic around here, man. We gotta
taste better, man.
You know, we got flavor in this motherfucker. All right, where the fuck are we going right now? All right, next question. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Sounds like an asshole. Romney Death? I don't know who the fuck that is. Stay out of our show. I don't want you fucking listening to us, man.
ain't you in California now, man?
Yeah, that's right. Go back to Cali, man. Stay away from the coronavirus, son. By the way, third reported case of that shit in Queens, son. I'm about to go to the moon, man. Fuck this shit.
Remember, SARS was also found in Queens, too.
SARS.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, though. Like, Queens is also the most diverse, borough in New York, at least third. So obviously, you're going to get all kinds of crazy ass diseases from other countries showing up there first.
Man. Anyway, so Mr. Romudeth, Mr. Romulan, his question is: can Chris break down Nintendo's recent sales numbers? You guys talked about it on the last show, but Chris wasn't there, right? So now we have him. Here, Anna. Hey, Chris, man, we are both gone, man. It's crazy, man. We like took the power away from the show.
Yeah.
All right, man. Anyway, hit us with some numbers, man.
Yeah. So Nintendo released their 9-month period. I don't know if every company does this, but they do it. I guess at the end of the calendar year, they go, "Oh, our fiscal year is only 3 quarters in," so they look at the 3-quarter. 3 quarters together to see how, you know, the health of the company, how they're doing at the end of the calendar year, which it's a little confusing because Nintendo and a lot of the companies, their fiscal year begins on April 1st. It doesn't begin with the calendar on January 1st. So that's why they only look at three quarters of the fiscal year, and they put it together in this 9-month roll-up. So this last one's kind of insane, because the Switch has been, I mean, just increasing in overall sales and in overall software and hardware every year since it came out. So just I have on the screen here the net sales. I didn't break this down to the chart because I do. So everybody knows I show this big chart for the end of the fiscal year.
People love the charts, man. They love the charts.
Yeah, so I need them to release their fiscal year 2019 report so I can make these comparisons. I don't have all the data yet, so I'm just going to look at this summary here. They put out the supplemental so you can see the numbers. But I don't know if for people looking in when the Wii U was still around in 2016, that 9-month period, they were only looking at maybe 311 million yen in sales. And if I just convert that real fast here.
Crunching the numbers.
Crunch them numbers, man.
I got to put it in American.
in American.
So that's like 2.87 billion dollars in sales over a 9-month period. You think that's impressive, right?
Wait for this.
Yeah. So if you can, and that's the dark days, right? That's the end of the Wii U's life. Like, it's not selling. They're totally leaning on 3DS sales. So a lot of the chunk of that number I showed you is 3DS. And they did other things too. They sold their stake in the Mariners and all this stuff. So this number, however,
it is like that, bro.
Okay, so this is if you look at it here, this is a million here, but you have to realize this is in millions of yen. So let me just put this in here.
Yo, Carlos, get ready, man.
And I had it before 16.
And remember, with the Wii U, it was like close to 2 billion, a little over 2 billion, right? So yeah. Now we're going to go for the Switch. Preferred it.
Yeah.
Most of that shit was just me putting pain.
Yeah, right? you single-handedly kept Nintendo alive, bro.
And so we're looking at, in this 9-month period for last year, they made $9.4 billion in net sales, right? That is insane. That's four times what they made in the end of the Wii U's life.
Yo, motherfuckers really love those shitty ass ports, man. Fuck. God damn.
Yeah. So I mean, overall their profit margin has exploded.
Yeah,
in the last three years,
right? Fuck,
you know. And I'll go over when I do my comparisons at the end of the year. I'll go more in depth over, like they do the breakdown of quarters. I do that in the charts, and I'll show you net sales, and I look at their profit margin and taxes and all that stuff. So I'll show you.
Yeah, we're just giving you kind of the quick summary tonight, but you're gonna get the full thing that you guys love. Don't worry about that. That's coming.
Yeah, the key indicators, like, I mean, overall, their proportion of sales is majority is overseas. It's almost 80-20.
Damn.
Last year was 77.9 percent of their sales comes from overseas market. So that's very important. Like, you know, if you think that Nintendo can only survive in Japan, well, not unless they cut themselves down really, really hardcore. Their overall digital sales were up. As you can see the indicators, they kind of jumped. They I don't know why the third quarter, I have to look at this, why it's their digital sales dropped and picked back up, and then it's been going well. And this is the holiday, this is where we are now. I can't see it. And then this is their million seller titles, the list.
Yeah.
So, and this is what I know Carlos talked about this already, but freaking Pokemon Sword and Shield, it sold in 2 months, sold 16 over 16 million.
2 months.
in 2 months.
Not even, man. It came out in November.
Yeah, so yeah, it came out in mid to late November. So not even 2 months. This, remember, this report cuts off on December 31st. So it only had from November, I don't know, mid-November, I don't remember the exact day.
November 15th, which is...
November 15th, exactly. So a month and a half. It had 90 days, right? In 90 days, 16 million, over 16 million units of Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like
I guess those supposed cut down graphics didn't mean a damn thing, did they?
Yeah, remember those motherfuckers were talking about they were going to protest the game, they're going to boycott it. Yeah, that boycott worked really fucking well, didn't it? 16 million, goddamn. And think about it. January's over, right? How much did that fucking thing sell in January alone, man? I wouldn't be surprised if that game's over 20 million sold by now, man.
Yeah. I mean, just to put in perspective, so the lifetime sales of Breath of the Wild, according to this chart, is 16.34 million units, right? So Pokemon in 90 days has almost caught up to the lifetime sales of Breath of the Wild.
Wow.
And it might, and like Tony said, we don't know. Like, I will look at this at when they put out their fiscal year report. So they have this 3 months, which I'm sure it's sold a bunch. It could probably surpass Smash Brothers and probably almost catch up to where Mario Kart 8 is, where Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has the overall lifetime sales record for the Switch at 23 million
units. I think this game's going to surpass that.
It probably will, yeah.
if it hasn't already, you know. Damn, that's almost, I mean, I don't know the breakdown, but it's like, fuck, that's a lot of games, man. Shit.
It's stupid, man. It's stupid.
It's stupid, Billy. It's stupid. Oh, yo.
Yeah, I mean.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. So Nintendo's doing very well. The supplemental doesn't have the hardware numbers, but I will look at that again come April. And yeah, but I mean, I just imagine you said like in 3/4 of the year that they had $9.4 billion in sales, and they haven't seen stuff like that since the Wii.
That's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah, they haven't had a 3/4 year like this since like 2011 or 20. I got to go back to find that.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you for that. And again, obviously people are going to have the full breakdown for you soon. Brett, are you around, man? Waiting for his response.
I don't think Brett picked up this Pokemon game.
No, no.
No one here has this Pokemon game.
No, Brett does. He loves this shit. He loves the game. He thinks it's amazing.
Oh, shit, he does.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, he Pokemon? Thought it was... He Brett, thought Pokemon? He loved it, right, Brett?
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry about Super Bowl stuff because we just won the shit out of that.
By the way, congratulations, Brett. Congratulations, Mr. Kansas City.
Oh, God, dude. Oh, we're not going to get on the video game podcast. What were you talking to me about?
Actually, I have a question specifically for you, dude.
Go for it.
You weren't around for the last 2 weeks, so I saved this. This is from Praxilness. He goes, Brett mentioned a few times that he doesn't feel The Outer Worlds is a true Bethesda-style game. While I understand his reasoning, he's the only person I know who thinks that. Is that what the overall Fallout community thinks? Everybody I follow thinks it is a Bethesda game. So, Brett, what's your reasoning for why The Outer Worlds is not like a Bethesda game, even though everybody else says it kind of is, including myself?
In a lot of ways, it is. But it doesn't quite scratch that itch. If I had to qualify it or classify it in a type... Yeah, I'd probably call it that type of game. Like, kind of somewhere between Bethesda game, Mass Effect-y kind of thing. Like, it has the same... It's built of the same things. It's just not built the same way. You can't interact with the environment. Like, the mundane is something in art I think a lot of people don't really appreciate or work with as an element. And I think that's one of the things that made Death Stranding such a different game for a lot of people, is because they kind of bring the idea of mundane and, you know, fast-paced moments. They know when to bring it low so that those high points hit high. I think a lot of games just kind of, like, try to hit high. And that's one of those things about Fallout/Bethesda games is, yeah, there's a very good chance there's nothing in that chest but a suit of, you know, a couple of pair of pants that you've seen on literally every NPC that you've run across because they're all wearing Nordic wild pants or whatever. But that's also kind of the good thing. That's the fun thing, especially about Fallout 4, is because you collect all those tin cans and shit, and you make a fort out of them. It's that mundane being transformed into awesomeness that kind of gives Bethesda games their specific flavor. And Outer Worlds has none of that particular type of thing. It has the quest choices. It has the sidekicks. It's built like... It's basically an egg or two. It's built of the same stuff. It looks the same. It just doesn't really feel the same. And I think that a lot of people who are big Fallout fans will tell you the same thing. Like, they played Outer Worlds. I'm standing in the same room with someone who played the shit out of platinum fucking Fallout 3. But played Outer Worlds, played it through, and then went, I've had enough. Like, it's just not exactly the same thing. So when you're talking about it casually, yeah, it's kind of a Bethesda-style game, but when you really get into it, is it the same thing? No. And the best way I can equate that is the metal scene. If someone's like, well, like, it's death metal, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of death metal, but it's also kind of like traditional Icelandic metal kind of thing. Like, it's the overarching umbrella when you're talking about it casually isn't really specific enough to tell about it in its character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just don't conflate black metal with death metal. Let me take this a little bit on my home turf.
Yeah,
but before that, because this is very important right now, very serious question for you, Brett. What are you cooking?
Beef hash.
Beef hash. Oh, nice. Yeah, because the whole time you've been talking, I'm like, yo, what is he cooking? I hear that shit grilling.
There's no way. There's no way to talk and not have the delicious sizzle of corned beef hash in your ears.
Fucking making me hungry and shit.
I've been listening to your cooking for like the past 2 minutes, and all I imagine is you cooking that corned beef hash on a cast iron skillet. Is it a cast iron skillet or is it?
It not? Is. It is, in fact, a cast iron.
I fucking knew it, man.
You gotta blow it low until it gets crispy. Otherwise, you're not doing it right.
Oh God. Anyway, sorry to cut you off, but I was just curious. Anyway, we'll finish your point. Oh God. You were talking about I was just saying, don't compare black metal to death metal unless you want motherfuckers.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll take it home. Thrash punk and political punk and like just all the different subgenres of punk, like God, even like fucking emo and screamo. Like screamo is emo. I don't care what you fucking say, it's the same goddamn thing.
It is emo.
But people will say it's also different than emo, so it's categorized specifically into fucking screamo or whatever. Like it's that kind of differentiation. Does that make sense?
No, I know what you're saying, and I'm, you know, speaking as a person who actually did platinum Fallout 3 and 4 and played the Outer Worlds, right? Because again, Brett, when you and I were originally talking about it, I was like, yeah, this shit is hardcore motherfucking Bethesda game, right? But I after playing it more, I see where you're coming from. It's kind of like the Cliff Notes version of a Bethesda game, right? It has all the things, you surface level shit you know from a Bethesda game. But if you look under the surface, like, oh yeah, it's missing a bunch of, like you said, the mundane shit, you know, the just grabbing a bunch of cans just because, or dragging bodies around and, you know, doing weird shit to them. You can't really do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
where's the environmental storytelling? Where is the post-apocalyptic scene in Fallout 4 where you see two skeletons sitting at a dinner table and another one huddled in a corner? Like, and you're sitting there like, what the fuck happened here? Like, they use the environment to tell a story, and they have, like, little notes that you find and things like that. Like, you find some of those things in this game, but it's more like Bioshock. Like, they're very specifically placed for you to find. Yeah. Bethesda, they you can tell when they're in there, like, oh, some developer had fun building this area, because there's like a little inside joke or something like that, and it's that kind of cheekiness and that fun. It's hiding things in the world that you then read that make the game have character that the other, you know, Outer Worlds doesn't.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, so there you go, Mr. Praxilness. It took us a while to get to your question, but we answer everything here, man. It's the way we roll. By the way, we're about to get to our last question here. So if you guys want to ask us anything gaming-related in the chat right now, please do so before we wrap it up. Not you, Goose. You already got your two questions, brother. All right, so Mr. Annihilator asks, does anyone buy these premium digital collections? I do not. I prefer to buy physical premium collections because you get the likes of sealed books and art books. I've bought a couple of these because, you know, you guys know me. I don't care. You know, I just want the game. Like, if it has all the content, that's all I care about. I don't care about little statues or whatever, because these things always tend to break or they're flimsy. And sometimes, you know, man, I'm going to toss it to you in a bit. Like, you get, like, you know, these quote-unquote art books that are little pamphlets. Like, I've been disappointed by some of these things so many times. Or you get an oversized batarang you can't put somewhere, you know, or an undersized fucking thing from Dead Space. Like, so many disappointments. Like, man, you know, I just get the digital version. Granted, I don't have to worry too much about that these days because, you know, companies send me shit. But when I do, like, for Assassin's Creed, I bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I bought the digital edition. I'm like, man, fuck it. I'll buy the digital edition. You know, but get everything. I don't care if I don't get a little, you know, Ezio statue or whatever the fuck it came with. Don't give a shit. I got too much crap in my room as it is. You know, don't need that. By the way, Manny, you're muted. Anyway, I'll let you take over here.
Auditory.
Yeah,
Auditory. Yeah, I've never bought the digital. I've never bought the digital special editions. I do like specifically getting something, you know. And I usually when they put those special editions out, you're kind of looking for all that stuff. I mean, most people in general don't care too much about all the, you know, skins and stuff. To me, that's not a selling point at all. Like, you know, hey, look, you got the gold. Like for Death Stranding, it's like, hey, look, you got some gold stuff to put on your. Who cares? Give me that baby.
Yeah. I cared once. I cared a total of once. I wanted Punk Spider-Man.
Yeah, there you go.
But Punk Spider-Man wasn't even a thing. You could get him in the game.
Yeah, but I wanted to play him from the beginning.
Oh, and that's why you got the.
But that was just a pre-order. That was just a pre-order. It didn't cost any extra money. I knew I wanted the game.
No, I mean, but they're talking about, like, you know, when you go into PlayStation Network or Xbox, you see, like, the Super Edition, right? Which essentially comes with a bunch of DLC and all kinds of other stuff. But most of that stuff is just like, you might as well just buy the normal game.
They give you a bunch of extra free digital shit that didn't cost them anything. What do you fucking do?
Yeah, that's all it is. To me, honestly, if you're going to buy a special edition, you're going to buy the thing that comes with the toy or something like that. But yes, I do agree that there are definitely a lot of companies that, like, kind of half-ass the special editions. I'd like to throw a certain company named Bethesda underneath the bus because we're already down in that road, you know, essentially putting out something that looks like a legitimately good, well-made product, and then you get it back and it looks like it's a knockoff from China, you know?
Yeah, well, and having a bad thing.
It's just like getting a real helmet in Fallout. You know, you can't just pick up a helmet off the ground. You'll probably get some sort of deadly fungus inside of your head. You get some deadly mold in it.
Well, I mean, what do you think happens when you take something and, like, breathe moisture into it? Like,
but yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's also a problem that, like, happens if you wear, like, most Halloween masks.
I think, yeah, definitely. Like, there's strict rules for things that go on your head, and you're not supposed to use specific things that capture moisture and whatever. Yeah, but
Pip-Boy was cool,
huh?
The Pip-Boy was cool.
Yeah, the Pip-Boy thing was cool. They did a good job with that.
That was years ago now, though.
But yeah, I just always liked picking up the special editions, but I've definitely had, like Tony says, I've had those disappointments. Just cheesy art books, lousy made things. Capcom is notorious for having really badly made special editions. Street Fighter, Street Fighter 4 had a really shitty one, and so did Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 6 had a shitty one as well.
Those games, specifically Resident Evil 5 and, you know, Street Fighter 4, made me stop fucking buying collections. I stopped buying collection editions long before I even got into gaming journalism. Like, this is fucking stupid. It's a waste of my money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never regretted it, to be honest. I've never regretted it.
Especially when they make you pay so much. But a company that I'd say does really well with special editions is actually Square Enix. I've never gotten anything from them. Well, granted, maybe that Batarang, because that was a Square Enix thing. Uh-oh. But anything from their normal Final Fantasy stuff or the stuff that they actually make, All that stuff came out really good. Like, you know, I mean, even games, shitty games like friggin', was it the new Front Mission game?
Oh, Left Alive.
Left Alive.
Yeah.
Left Alive. It was a lousy game, but I tell you, man, that's probably one of the best special editions of a game I've ever gotten.
Yeah. Oh, Barry Bird says, rest in peace, Working Designs. Yeah, their collector's editions were really, really good, Ben.
Yeah, Working Design put a lot of work into their stuff. Like, you know, what was it?
Working Designs put a lot of work.
Or they put a lot of work into it. It's like, you know, like, yeah. Well, design. Yeah, even the lesser versions of those things kind of came out pretty well. Like, there's that, you know, everybody sees it all over the internet where it's like that version of Lunar that came with like a puppet of like a boxing puppet of the one of the bad guys from the game, and came with like a map, an art book, these little cards, and even the one that was underneath that was really good too.
It's crazy. Adam, collector's editions, do you buy these digital ones or physical ones?
I don't care. I really don't. I don't care like I used to. I mean, the only one I really wanted came out and it was too expensive. And it was the Titanfall 2. And it was a full helmet that you could put on. And it had like all these buttons and shit. It was fucking crazy. I was like, wow, that's worth it. Because we all know about the Halo one. It was a cat helmet. You couldn't put it on. And it was
yeah, stupid. That little shit. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the only one that I could think of that actually had some use was Grand Theft Auto 4.
And oh, the Foot Locker?
That had the little safe. Remember,
it
had the
little it was nice. Yeah.
It came with a key and it had a little bag. So as if you were carrying stuff, it had the art book and all that stuff.
But no, I think Gears 3 came with that big cog.
I have that.
I have it too. Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful. I still have it in the box. I never took it out. This is Adam Phoenix, and it has engraved a code so you could unlock him for multiplayer.
Yeah,
very cool. Nope. Yeah, but majority of the time we don't see stuff like that.
But I stopped the Dead Space. I think I slowed down after Dead Space with that shitty plasma cutter that was meant for a 3-year-old. I got RE5, which came with the most fragile glasses ever, and a Chris Redfield statue, little tiny statue, right? When I say statue, I mean like a Micro Machines statue stiff wind would break it. And I got Crimson Viper from Street Fighter, and she broke too, just like Manny's broke.
Manny, you're muted.
We both lived in the same apartment at the time, and you know, we had on a shelf, my girlfriend had the little Chris Redfield figure, and by the way, in the ads it showed it looked like it was big. It looked like it was like, oh shit, it's like a real toy. No, it was this little tiny figure, and one day it just fell off the shelf and literally smashed on the fucking carpet.
Wow, what a piece of shit. It just
broke, yeah.
On the carpet.
On the carpet. Yeah. On carpet.
Look at this one. This.
Oh, the Alan Wake special edition.
This was cool because it looked like a book.
I was about to say, it's a Bible and you shit. See? Man.
And then you could open up, and then, of course, you could put stuff and do those type of things and hide things in because it had
cool, yeah.
Everything here. So it was really cool. This one I did like just for the fact that it looked like a book. I could put it on a bookshelf.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
The only time I've ever gotten digital special editions of anything is on like a PlayStation sale when it's like heavily discounted, know, like old. So like I bought Just Cause 3 way later and I got like the Ultra Edition that was like, I think I paid $20 for all that shit. And back when it came out, what was it, $90, $100? Yeah. So that's the only time I'd ever do that. Like if I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to play this years ago, I'll do that. But other than that, no, I just stay away from collector's editions and things like that.
Like for me, I just want the game. I don't care about a lot of this shit.
You yeah.
know? Don't give
I mean, a fuck. You've never been that much of a collector anyway, so. Nah,
not really.
That was 1 year Call of Duty had Night Vision models. And I thought they were going to be cheap, and they weren't. And
no, they were all these videos like older.
Using these really cool night vision goggles and putting their phone in through so you could see how it lit up. I'm like, oh, shit.
They were like
had another one remote control RC car.
What they were was that they were like older model night vision goggles, like you know, like not like the new ones that the military uses, but like mm-hmm. their older versions. But they were real working ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. All right, anybody else digital editions? Yay or nay?
Most of the time, it's a nay.
Yeah, nay. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't think we care about those. So, Annihilator, we're with you, brother. You know. Yeah, that's gonna do it for us, man. So a couple of things before we wrap up that we need to let you guys know about. So I will not be on episode 270 of Throwdown, this Thursday's episode. Not gonna happen because basically what's happening with me is I'm flying to LA earlier in the week, and then I do come home on Thursday, but I immediately need to go to sleep because I'm flying to New Orleans after that, and where I'm going to meet up with a certain somebody from this show, Mexican persuasion, and we're going to meet up with a couple other buddies, and we're going to have some fun. Yeah, you had a right? You turned Mexican, son? Through your Puerto
Rican. I met one.
Hey! You know? So yeah, anyway, so I won't be around for that, so the fellas are going to hold it down. I'm going to try to get a couple of special guests in here just to, you know, keep things nice and popping, you know, but I will return for Throw On Your Questions, episode 2070, which is next Sunday, and after that, there will not be any interruptions to Throw Down until E3, you know? Go ahead,
man. No, I was going to say, yo, man, you the question host.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm host. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do that from, yeah, maybe we should do that. It's like, you guys host a regular show, and I'll host the fucking question show, you know?
Just the crazy thing. When is E3?
For me, I would go out there June 6th, you know?
So the Throwdown during E3 is on the 11th, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder who will host that, since, you know, Tony and Manny usually go, and I'm not going to be here.
I'm going, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Adam's going
to
go.
Oh, excuse me?
Time for me to step up.
Yeah, that's it, Brett. You'd have to do it. Well, I mean, if, like, me, Manny, and Adam are there, we'll probably just do it and get Brett, you know, because, Brett, we can still call you, obviously, you know, Chris and all that. Listen, don't worry about Throwdown during E3. It's going to happen. As a matter of fact, like we usually do during E3, you're going to get more episodes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know how that goes, man. For the MP3 of Throwdown, of Throwdown 270, you guys probably get a little bit later, you know, because I'm not going to be around to do all the editing and all that other shit, you know? But other than that, after this week, people, I promise you, we're going to go back to our normal schedule, you know, so you don't need to worry about that, you know?
Well, the schedule's not being, well, I mean, at least for the MP3, yeah. But no, everything else has been coming out on time.
Yeah, though. Yeah, like I said, man, the show must go on, you know. Oh, hold on, Brett, what do you have on the camera?
Excuse me. Oh, I use the same plates too.
Nice. That's amazing, dude. This is what you get on Throw. You get from, yeah. Brett, you get his dog. Look at his fucking dog right now. So he's like, yo, let me get some of that, man.
Oh, she waiting.
She's like, let me get that. That's human food though, man. So yeah, that's it. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Leave us questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and it's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Hey to people.
Brett Murdoch.
Spin Row Party, people.
And Adam Vail.
Have a good week and go watch The Outsiders.
That's it. And I'll be back on Sunday, people. Later.
Later, guys. Deuces.